Give me one second here. A few different text verses I want to deal with here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 13. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Interesting, isn't it? And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right, now I want you to think about this for a second here, because that's exactly what we're dealing with here today when we deal with Joseph Smith. He called himself an apostle. He called himself a prophet. And what does it say about them? What does it say that happened to them, and or what would happen? It says, marvel not. It says, don't marvel at that. It says, but he says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. Now, today, we marvel at that. We don't, for some reason, most people, they don't believe there's false prophets out there. Among Christians, people like Billy Graham and others like that, they don't believe that they're false prophets. They don't believe that they could possibly, you look at the, have a dialogue with some people sometime and just talk to them about that and try to inform them about that, right, Brother Paul? If you talk to him, he likes having dialogues, Brother Paul does. But if you talk to somebody once in a while about that, about any of these false prophets that are out there, they've never met a false prophet or heard of one in their whole life. Well, listen, we were warned over and over and over and over again in Scripture. Paul warned when he was leaving in Acts chapter 20. He said, hey, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. But I'll tell you what, there's some grievous wolves that are enter in, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall there arise men, speaking perverse things, drawing men after them. Hey, wait a minute. What does that sound like? Sounds like Joseph Smith, doesn't it? Sounds like this, of your own selves shall men arise, and then grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. And this is why people get upset sometimes when you preach boldly on things like this, and you tell them under no certain circumstances, none of those devils and wolves are coming into this church. They're going to get kicked out. They're going to be separated from this place. They're not entering into this assembly. If you hold the charismatic beliefs, you will not be a member of this church. You will not be allowed in this place. You will not be. Why? Because it's a satanic cancer is what it is. It's a spiritual wickedness is what it is. And once it gets into a body, it infects the body. And you're not going to have it here. It's not going to come here. By the grace of God, we'll keep it away. Amen. We'll keep it out. Same thing goes for these cults. We have no truce with Satan. And by the way, no truce with Rome either. While we're at it, just to make it clear, there's no truce with Rome. One and the same. Yeah, we know where Satan's seat is. Amen? Yeah, no, the protest ain't over. No, like Benny Hinn, that one guy got up there, he was an ambassador from the Lutheran church or whatever, got up there and he said, hey, the protest is over. I don't know what's going on. The protest is over. Well, Yeah, he died in a motorcycle accident. That guy that's on, you can see on the video that brought, what's his name? What's that scary, spooky guy that like looks like he has like 400 devils in him? Yeah, that guy? Yeah. Copeland. Man, that guy's got so many demons in him, it is just sick. And that guy, he's got all these devils in him, and he comes in, and this guy is an ambassador for the Pope, and he's like, hey, so this guy comes over, and they all these charismatics have a meeting with the Pope. Declaring that the Protestant Reformation is over. We all agree. Well, I agree. You all agree. Okay, I agree with that. We know you all agree. And I'm glad you all are in agreement now. So nobody has to be confused about that. All right, but Baptists aren't Protestants.
Amen.
Well, that makes people mad when you say that. But I'll say it again. Baptists are not Protestants.
Amen.
Their origin did not come from the Protestant Reformation. Amen. Baptists are not Protestants.
Amen.
They did not come from the Protestant Reformation. We were reformers long before Luther. We were protesters long before Luther nailed his theses. We were onto the wall. We were around before Calvin in Geneva. Amen. His thesis is, what's this? No, I didn't say that. You stop. What's the matter with your husband anyway? Yeah, he is. See what he's trying to do? Man. All right, then turn to Galatians chapter 1. Paul uses that word marvel again, doesn't he? He says in verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, that'd be Joseph Smith. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Plain and simple, that man was accursed. That's exactly what he was. Now, we talked about in the first message, we dealt with the fact that, Joseph Smith was a witch. We dealt with his, ties to astrology and his ties to hereditary witchcraft and his ties to he used charged objects, he used talismans. All the things that God said that we shouldn't use, he used divining rods. And he said that the rods had power in them and everything else. And he consulted familiar spirits. He did a lot of things. He had visitations from spirits and everything like that. So, you know, it's safe to say he was a witch. I mean, it's pretty simple to say that he was a witch. So the title of that first sermon is going to be Joseph Smith, Mormon Founder, Was a Witch. That's the title of it. Very simple. People don't accuse me of, you know, beating around the bush. I really... Tell us what you really mean. Well, I will. I'll tell you what I really mean. He was a witch. Amen. It's just plain and simple. Well, now we're going to talk about Joseph Smith, the Freemason. All right? The Master Mason. Joseph Smith, the Master Mason. And then I'm going to show you how on the Mormon temples, I'm going to show you some pictures. Sorry you won't be able to see them very clear. Me and Brother Aaron are going to work on some PowerPoint stuff to where I can actually have a screen for you and show you some of these up on the PowerPoint. But someday I'll graduate and we'll do that. But right now, sorry, you're in high school, so you don't get any good PowerPoints. But I'll show you some pictures on here a little bit. You'll be able to see them a little bit here. And after the service, you can come look at them, too. And I can email any of these pictures to any of you. If you'd like the whole file, I can email it to you and send it out so you can have these. But I'm going to show you their Masonic. Remember, how do Masons speak? They speak in symbols. They speak in signs. That's how they speak. But see, there's some confusion here for most people. They just think, oh, well, they just have an all-seeing eye there. It's no big deal. Well, where do you see an all-seeing eye in the Bible? In a positive light, that is. Where do you see? We see that idle shepherd with his right eye poked out. You know, it's gone. He didn't have a right eye. We see that idle shepherd, but that's not our shepherd. Amen? That's not our shepherd. So, Freemasonry, if you don't understand Freemasonry, go back and listen to the sermon, Why I Preach Against Freemasonry. If you don't remember that one, go back and listen to it. And that should tell you just about everything you need to know about Freemasonry. So I'm not going to get into everything about Freemasonry. I'm just going to show you how Joseph Smith was a Freemason. If you don't understand Freemasonry, go back and listen to that. That'll explain to you what Freemasonry is, okay? But we're going to talk about obviously Freemasonry is a cult, okay? It is. It's an esoteric cult. They hold the secrets of the mysteries. They're a mystery religion. What do we find in the Bible for mystery religions? Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. Is the Bible a mystery? No, it's not. It's already been revealed. Amen? God says, behold, I show you a mystery. And then he explains it to you. Right? What do the esoteric religions do? Well, on the first and second level, what we teach you is this is what this means. But after a while, every true Master Mason knows and high-level Freemason knows that we just lied to you through all those other degrees. We didn't think you were worthy to tell you the truth. But after 5 years of being a Freemason, now we'll start to tell you the truth of what really this all stands for. Maybe. And then you continue to go up and up and up, and then you start to learn some things when you get deeper into witchcraft and everything else. Okay, now, I want to paint a picture for you to get you to understand this. Okay, Joseph Smith was like Aleister Crowley in some ways. So what do you mean by that? Well, Aleister Crowley went to every different compartment of Satan's kingdom to gather power and knowledge so he could be a high-level witch. Joseph Smith did the same thing. He was into astrology. He had talismans. He had charged objects. He was a Freemason. He gathered it all together. And I really believe that he was murdered because he took the secrets of Freemasonry and he took them into the Mormon temple. And that was a no-no. And I think they killed him for it. And we'll talk about his death a little bit there. Anyway, so the history of the church records Smith's entrance into the Masonic Lodge in 1842. On a Tuesday, the 15th, it says this: I officiated as grand chaplain at the installation of the Navo. Does anybody know how to pronounce that? The Navu or Navo? It's N-A-U-V-O-O. Man, Navu? Is it Navu? I think it is Navu, yeah. Navu Lodge of, what's that? Yeah, it's a town. Yeah, it's the town that they're in. The Navu Lodge of Freemasons at the Grove near the temple. Isn't that great? It just can't even get any easier than that, can they? It's not even hard. This becomes too easy. The Lodge of the Freemasons at the Grove near the temple. Grandmaster Jonas of Columbus being present and a large number of people assembled on the occasion. The day was exceedingly fine. All things were done in order and universal satisfaction was manifested. In the evening, I received the first degree in Freemasonry in the Nauvoo Lodge, assembled in my general business office. History of the Church by Joseph Smith, Desert Book, 1978, Volume 4. So he's admitting that he was a member of the Freemasonry. But look at this. The next day, Smith recorded, Wednesday, March 16th, I was with the Masonic Lodge and rose to the sublime degree. Well, that was quick. One day. The Mormon involvement in Freemasonry reached its heights during the early 1840s in Nauvoo. In the Encyclopedia of Mormonism, we read this. The introduction of Freemasonry in Nauvoo had both political and religious implications. Eventually, nearly 1,500. Now, I want you to listen to this closely, okay? Because I think you're going to start to understand how Freemasonry, all Mormonism was, I believe personally, when it's all said and done, it was just a haven for witches. Bill Schneblin records that when he was a high-level witch, they told Bill Schneblin, they said this to him, if you ever get in trouble, this high-level druid told him, if you ever get in trouble, like you lose some of your power or whatever, go to the Mormon temple. Because the Mormon temple was created for Freemasons and for witches. That's what it was for. So that's exactly what Bill Schneblin did. Because Bill Schneblin got into some trouble. Because see, what he did was he wrote a check out to the Church of Satan. All right? Because he was a witch. And he wrote a check out, a gift, an offering to the Church of Satan. And he sent it in. And the bank teller... got the check, was returning the check, and wrote on it, I'll be praying for you in Jesus' name. And when she did that, he lost his powers. He couldn't do some things because she was praying for him in Jesus' name. Well, then God started working on his heart. And he went to the Mormon church he's like, I got to get my power back, man. I'm going to go to the Mormon church. So he went to the Mormon church, and after a year, he got a temple invite. So you don't always get to go to the temple. Not all Mormons go to the temple. The stuff that I'm going to talk to you about, most Mormons have never heard. And the reason why is because they don't go to the temple. They're not invited there. You have to go by invite only. Because of the secrets of the temple. They say their religion is not a... Now, what's this sound like? Anybody remember this? If you're paying attention before when I taught on Freemasonry, you'll remember this. The Mormons tell you, it's not a secret religion, it's a sacred one. That's what Masons tell you. It's not a secret. It's sacred. Right. Anyway, so he went there to the temple. He was a Mormon for 9 years. And he rose all the way up through the ranks and was in the temple and went through all the different steps and degrees in the temple, which I'm going to show you some of those degrees and talk to you a little bit about the comparison. I'm not going to do all of them because there was like 30 similarities between all the degrees. And I didn't want to go through all those. I didn't want you to have to listen to all of them because some of them are really weird anyway. So we're just going to do a few of them. But anyway, to show you the difference, that all it is high-level Freemasonry in the temple, the Mormon temple. That's all it is. They were all a bunch of witches and Masons. That's all they were. But I don't want to just tell you that because then you'll go home and say, well, Pastor says it is that, but he didn't give me any proof. Now I'm going to give you all the proof today, just like I gave you an hour and a half worth of proof before. So somebody says, man, these are real long. Yeah, they sure are. But none of your friends, family, relatives, or people you know are going to accuse this preacher of not having his facts backed up. Because it's all going to be in there, and you're going to be able to say, oh, here it is, here it is, here it is, here it is. Anyway, so Shebling went through there. He went through all those ranks and everything, and then he ended up reading the Bible for himself, and then he got saved, and he left the Mormon. He had a meeting with the Mormon hierarchy there in the temple, and he preached. He had a right to counsel, a right to stand before them, because he wanted his name removed from the rolls of the Mormon church. And he stood up there, and he preached to them. For 2 hours, he preached to the Mormon all the apostles, all the people, all the temple staff, whatever. He preached to all the high-level Mormons for 2 hours. He preached the gospel to them because they weren't allowed to interrupt him. He had to get 2 hours. He had 2 hours, and they couldn't interrupt him. He got to say whatever he wanted to. So he did nothing but preach the gospel to them for 2 hours. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Nobody got saved at that point, but he still left, and he got to get the truth out to them that they'd probably never hear. So anyway, but just so you understand, the Freemasonry and the temple, they go hand in hand. They try to say they don't. They outlaw Freemasons and no, you couldn't do this for a time and everything. And that's the way it was. Well, just remember, always outwardly, they say these things. It's just like Rome, like, you know, this whole thing that's together, like Rome and Freemasonry are like enemies. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, like they're enemies. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, well, they're enemies. They're not enemies. Come on. Listen to me. All the top levels of all of these religions, even a lot of these Protestant religions, all of these top level where they're not local New Testament separated churches like this that are separated. There's no outside authority. This is the authority that the Lord Jesus instituted. He's the head of the church. Amen. Amen? Those churches that have big Southern Baptist Convention, they're all co-opted. They're all co-opted. They're all controlled. Controlled. All at the top, they all know each other and they all work together. All of them. That's right. You can. Yep. Yep. That's right. That's right. Vatican II did the same thing. So, but Freemasonry is not Roman Catholic. One of the degrees of Freemasonry is the Knight of Malta. You can't make that stuff up, man. Anyway, all right. The introduction of Freemasonry in Nauvoo had both political and religious implications. Eventually, nearly 1,500 LDS men became associated with Illinois Freemasonry, including many members of the churches, that's the Mormon church, governing priesthood bodies. This is at a time when the total number of non-LDS Masons in Illinois lodges barely reached 150. Did you hear what I said? 1,500 LDS men. The only non-Mormon men were 150. You think it's an accident? No. The Salt Lake Tribune, in May 4, 2002, printed a picture of the original Nauvoo Temple weather vane, which shows the Masonic symbol, the compass and square above the angel. Every detail of the historic Nauvoo Temple was reconstructed in the new Nauvoo Temple meticulously, with one exception: the flying angel weather vane that graced the top of the 19th century Mormon edifice. In its place is a gold-leafed angel Moroni, or the angel Moron, first used in the Salt Lake Temple. Now, I'm going to show you some of these pictures here, because, again, remember, Masons hide everything in pictures, okay? Here, this was the original angel on the temple. Okay, you see that? Does anybody notice anything about that original angel there? Anybody notice anything that's on there at all? You see the square and compass? You see it? Yep. The square and compass. Hey, I'm turning my volume up. Knock that off. That's the square and compass right there. As is above, so is below. Okay? Sorry, your eyes are bad. Can't help you in the back. You shouldn't have paid for the cheap seats and you would have been able to see better, okay? All right, these guys paid for the expensive seats. That's the way it goes. Right, Brother Paul? Brother Paul's a front row Baptist, so he can see all the pictures. Right, Brother Paul? He wants to see the pictures. Came to church to see pictures. Can't see them in the back, can you? Serves you right back there. You get right with God, you'll start looking at those, you'll start sitting up front. Amen. All right. You at home better just join the church and get over here so you can see these pictures. Oh, anyway. Down the recliner. They're going to pause it, and they're going to, like, blow up their screen. Oh, I see it. Okay. Anyway, I got to keep moving here. Some speculate that the horizontal angel, which with its compass and square may be too closely associated with Masonic rituals for modern Mormons. That's what they said in Salt Lake Tribune on May 4th. They said, this seems an awful lot like Freemasonry. Well, yeah, it should. That's why Joseph Smith was killed, I believe. At least that's why they say he was killed. You know, you never can trust these people because there's so much, they're liars, you know. Anyway, Reed Durham says this. He says, there is absolutely no question in my mind that the Mormon ceremony, which came to be known as the endowment, introduced by Joseph Smith to Mormon Masons, initially just a little over 1 month after he became a Mason, had an immediate inspiration from Masonry. It is also obvious that the Nauvoo Temple architecture was in part at least Masonically influenced. Indeed, it appears that there was an intentional attempt to utilize Masonic symbols and motifs. The sun stones and the moon and the star stones were examples. An additional example was the angel used on the weather vane on the top of the temple. Above, the angel's beautiful compass and square in the typical Masonic fashion. Now, I'm going to show you some more of these pictures here, and I'll read some comments, and it won't exactly, you'll just have to remember some of this as I show you these, okay? Anybody know what this is? It's an inverted what? Pentagram. So tell me, why is there an inverted pentagram in a circle in the Mormon temple? On the Mormon temple. Why? Because symbols mean something. That's why. I'm going to share with you some other pictures here about this, too, that'll be kind of interesting to you. Some slides that I took from a video, which, by the way, I don't recommend everything this man says, Bill Schnepp, because I don't agree with some of the Hebrew root stuff he does. But one of the things that he says on there is very true. And he talks about why they built the architecture the way they did. And he explains it. And I'm going to teach you some of those things here today. By the way, this, besides it being spooky, who does this? Yeah, occultists do it. Masons do it. Those of esoteric religions do it. What in the world is the purpose of putting this on anything that you would call a church building? It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's wicked. Okay? It is satanic, but it's done for a reason. What's that? Yeah, it is satanic. I'm gonna explain to you the reason, okay? I'm going to show you. Oh, this is from the Masonic order. This is the craft and its symbols. Remember that sun you just saw? See, there it is. There's that. Oh, you want? Yeah, I'll show you the all-seeing eye on the Mormon temple. Who ever thought of putting that there? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Come on, you can't make this stuff up. See that? Now, why? Why? Because he was a witch. That's why. Did you know he called his inner circle the Illuminati? Record. I'm serious. These cultists make it just too easy for me to do this. Because it's not even that hard, really, when you just start gathering facts together. They tell their own story. And the thing is that they're not ashamed of it, okay? They're going to tell you this is what we believe. This is what we hold to. Oh, then here's... How about the hand grasping? See that? Yeah, see that? It's on the Mormon temple. Oh, but Joseph Smith didn't model anything after the Masons. Of course not. Of course he did. Not at all, right? Oh, and then we couldn't forget about the Masonic beehive. Okay. Couldn't forget about the beehive, right? We had to put the beehive there. You know what the beehive is? Well, we'll talk about what the beehive is, so I'll explain it to you a little bit. Oh, here's another one. Oh, by the way, that was on a Masonic, actually there. This is the beehive, this was the Mormon temple. Okay, that was the beehive there. This is the beehive. Freemasonry. Same thing. Why? Because he was a Mason. And he was an occultist. And that's what he believed. Just like you believe things, right? So you, here you go. The Monty Tabernacle, the Sunstone Salt Lake Temple, Cloud Stones with Rays of Light, Salt Lake Temple, and Moonstone in one of its phases at the Salt Lake Temple. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And all of these things can be found in Freemasonry. Okay, the inverted pentagram, it's everywhere. Again, I showed you those. Oh, by the way, this is the satanic inverted pentagram. Oh, that's the same thing, isn't it? That's the one they use. That's the one on the temple. Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's right, Baphomet. Yep. Okay, so I want to read you just a few things that I got from this Temple of Doom video that I've seen. Mrs. Smith, Lucy Max Smith, said in her autobiography that the family cast magic circles and practice faculty of abric. By the way, have you ever heard anybody say abracadabra? Don't say that. Why? Because that's an incantation. It's witchcraft. Don't say abracadabra. There's a magic of abric. It's called the faculty of abric. Yeah, don't say that. Yeah, you're speaking their language. No, it's not just Bugs Bunny. Although I find it funny that you have a little Bugs Bunny cartoon, and what it's done is indoctrinate children into witchcraft. Got them saying the words and talking like a witch. Don't say that. Masonic and occult origins. The temple rite was so similar to Masonic ritual that for a century the Grand Lodge of Utah declared that the LDS Church was a clandestine lodge. Heavy influences from occultism and Freemasonry. Now, what is this called when they put these signs on buildings? What is it called exactly? Well, I hope I can pronounce it right. It's called Mega Polysomancy. Yeah. Mega Polysomancy. That's what it's called. Okay? This is an esoteric science of masonry, the magic of building great cities, constructing buildings in such a way that they became the habitation of devils. Yeah. So are you saying that they actually put those signs on there so devils would come to that place and be welcome there? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, actually, that's what they're saying. I'm just telling you what they said. Well, who wrote that article? I mean, what kind of, that must have been written by a Baptist. No, that was written by Anton LaVey. He called it the law of the trapezoid. Frustums, mansard roofs, and haunted houses. The spires of the Salt Lake City Temple are trapezoids. Archaeometry, ancient Masonic canons. The Masonic canon of using numbers and measurements in architecture, number of pillars or spires on a temple relating to gods being worshipped. Also the proportions used in the building. Golden mean is the best. These numbers or dimensions can also be used to attract evil spirits. Just like you know how the witches, they draw a circle around them and then they... Hiram Smith? Yeah, Hiram... Right, he doesn't live in those houses. That's right. That's why the church, the body, is the church, not the building. The body. Amen. The people together. Amen. These numbers or dimensions can also be used to attract evil spirits. That's what they're for. Okay? In Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, I have this book somewhere. I don't know where it is, but... Anyway, she says this, you will find the satanic pentagram invaluable and indispensable as you attempt to draw from the infernal power of our Lord Satan. This extremely powerful amulet is the summation of the microcosm and is the summation of all the occult forces. In other words, there is no amulet or talisman more powerful as the satanic pentagram. Okay, so these people know what they're doing. They draw inverted pentagrams, they draw them, they carve them in their buildings, they put them in there. Why? Because they know they're trying to attract devils. That's what they're doing. Now, look at most of those big, nasty, Roman Catholic buildings. I've already showed you the architecture in that. I've already went through there and showed you the all-seeing eye on all these buildings and everything. You've seen that. I'm going to keep moving on. The beehive, Masonically, is an emblem of industry. When and why the hive of the bee entered Freemasonry is a symbol no one knows. In the book, The Early Masonic Catechisms, the bee in Masonry is mentioned as early as 1724. That's from the book called The Crafts and Symbols by Alan A. Roberts. LDS researcher Michael Homer discussed the Mormon use of Masonic symbols. So they admit it. Hey, we use Masonic symbols. Even after the turn of the century and the abandonment of polygamy, the same comparison to Masonry was made. The First Presidency stated in a message on October 15, 1911, that because of their Masonic characters, the ceremonies of the temple are sacred and not for the public. Mormon use of Masonic symbols has also been publicly acknowledged. Mormons were hardly discreet in their depictions of symbols long associated with Freemasonry, including the square, the compass, the sun, I showed you those pictures, the moon and stars, the beehive, the all-seeing eye, ritualistic hand grips. You've seen the picture of the hand grip, right? Two interlaced triangles forming a six-pointed star and a number of other Masonic symbols on endowment houses, temples, cooperatives, grave markers, tabernacles, church meeting houses, newspaper mastheads, hotels, residencies, money, logos, and seals. Similarity of the priesthood in Freemasonry, the relationship between Freemasonry and Mormonism by Michael W. Homer. Mormons own a lot of businesses too, by the way. They have a lot of money. Some of the heads of the 20 Jesus staffs and all of them were, six of them were Mormons, temple, high-level temple Mormons, yep. Yep. Mitt Romney. His family goes way back. Yeah, way back. His father, George Romney, ran for president. Yeah. Yep. When trying to explain similarities between Mormonism and Masonry, one LDS author wrote this. Masons who visit the temple block in Salt Lake City are impressed by what they call the Masonic emblems displayed on the outside of the Mormon temple. So when the Masons come to visit, they say, hey, look at all these Masonic. Well, what is that then? It's an invite. Come home. Come on in. So now do you understand why that high-level druid told Bill Schneblin when he was a witch? He said, hey, get to the Mormon temple if you ever have any problem. It's a safe haven for us. How would you know that? Well, when you go to the temple and you look at the sign, you're like, yeah, I'm home. Marvel not that his ministers be transformed. Amen? Without any apologies, we frankly admit that there may be some truth in these statements. Mormonism and Masonry, introduction by Cecil McGavin, Bookcraft. Later in the same book, McGavin stated this. In the diary of Benjamin F. Johnson, an intimate friend and associate of Joseph Smith, it is recorded that Joseph told me that Freemasonry was the apostate endowment of sectarian religion, was the apostate religion, as sectarian religion was the apostate religion. Elder Heber C. Kimball, who had been a Mason for many years, related that after Joseph Smith became a Mason, he explained to his brethren that Masonry had been taken from the priesthood. Got that twisted around a little bit, but okay. Prior to 1860, most Masonic writers accepted the legends of Freemasonry, which claimed that it originated in antiquity. Although these claims were challenged by most anti-Masonic writers in the United States, most Masonic writers refused to discount these claims until a school of English investigators began to evaluate lodge minutes, ancient rituals, and municipal records. Eventually, this movement debunked the notion that the rituals practiced in speculative Freemasonry originated before the 16th century. Gould and others argue that the best evidence indicated that operative Freemasonry originated with trade guilds in the Middle Ages and that the development of speculative Freemasonry with ceremonies and rituals similar to those practiced today began in the 17th century. The rituals of Freemasonry have never been static, but have evolved both in time and place. Now I'm going to tell you something. Freemasonry goes back to the Knights Templar. It goes way back. For example, only post-1760 rituals include separate obligations for degrees in conjunction with signs, penalties, tokens, and words. the form found in most subsequent rituals, and the same format followed in the Mormon temple endowment. Similarity of priesthood and masonry. A dialogue, a journal of Mormon thought, volume 27. The Masons were sometimes accused of being a band. And it was claimed that one of their objects was to plunder. The Book of Mormon speaks of a band of Gadianton in Helaman 11:10, who did commit murder and plunder. Now, I'm going to give you some similarities here in the levels, in the different levels of Freemasonry and the levels of the temple, the Mormon temple. The word craft was frequently used with regard to Masonry. The Book of Mormon tells us that Gadington was expert in many words and also in his craft. The Masons claim that there were ceremonies that went back to ancient times. In Masonry Exposed, page 68, the Book of Mormon quotes Gideonina as an evil man, as saying, And behold, I am Gideon High, and I am the governor of this secret society of Gideonton, which society and the works thereof I know to be good, and they are of ancient date, and they have been handed down unto us. 3 Nephi 3:9. In the Masonic ritual, the candidate has a rope called a cable toe around his neck. Now listen to this. They have the cable toe around their neck. In the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi 26:22, we read, and there are also secret combinations according to the combinations of the devil, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord. So one has the cable toe, and the other has the flaxen cord. Same thing. In their ceremonies, the Mason wore a lambskin or white apron. That's from Freemasonry Exposed. According to 3 Nephi 3:7, the Gadianton robbers wore a lambskin about their loins. See the similarities? All the same. In another one of their degrees, the sign is given by raising both hands and arms to the elbows perpendicularly on one and each side of the head, the elbows forming a square. The words accompanying this sign in case of distress are, O Lord my God, is there no help for the widow's son? That's Freemasonry Exposed. Now listen to this. John D. Lee claimed that Joseph Smith used the exact words that a Mason is supposed to use in case of distress. When he was in the jail cell, somebody slipped him in a gun because there was a crowd forming out there of hundreds of people that were going to kill him and his brother. They were going to kill him because then they had done a lot of stuff. They burnt the printing press down. They were taking everybody's wives. They were stealing their daughters. These guys had done a lot of stuff. So John D. Lee claimed that Joseph Smith used the exact same thing. Joseph left the door, sprang through the window, and cried out, O Lord my God, is there no help for the widow's son? Why'd he do that? By the way, that's from Confessions of John D. Lee, photomechanical print reprint of 1880, edition, page 153. What happened? He went out and gave the Masonic sign of distress. He went out there to the front because he thought that the Masons, because he saw out there that there were some men with some rings on. So he thought, okay, I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to get out of this because these Masons, they're going to let me go. Because they're Masons and they have to let me go. He went out there and he gave that Mason the sign of distress. And he said, O Lord my God, is there no help for the poor widows or for the widow's son? Boom! No help. And they killed him. Dead. Why? Because he tried to start his own order, that's why. So they killed him for it. And Satan was done with him. His power had left him. He didn't have any power left. That's what Satan does to people, okay? When he's done using you, he'll leave you to die. Yep. He'll lead you into your own death and watch you die after you've served him your whole life. And you'll go to a devil's hell. That's what he does to all the witches and all them that serve him. That's what he does to them. That's right. Although the Masons in Utah were just were disturbed with the Mormons because of polygamy, there are other reasons why they refuse to allow Mormons to join their fraternity. One of the most important is that they feel that Joseph Smith stole part of the Masonic ritual and included it in his temple ceremony. S.H. Goodwin made this statement. The observant craftsman cannot be long among the Mormon people without noting the not infrequent use made of certain emblems and symbols which have come to be associated in the public mind with the Masonic fraternity. And now and again, he will catch expressions and phrases in conversations and meet with terms in literature which are suggested, to say the least. If he should continue his residence in Utah, he will sometimes be made aware of the fact, when shaking hands with a Mormon neighbor or friend, that there is a pressure of the hand as though some sort of grip is being given. Freemason grips. According to E. Cecil McGavin, Grand Master J.M. Orr of Utah, he made this statement in 1878. We say to the priests of the Latter-day Church, you cannot enter our lodge rooms. You surrender all to an unholy priesthood. You have hitherto sacrificed the sacred obligations of our beloved order, and we believe you would do the same again. Stand aside. We want none of you. Such a wound as you gave Masonry and Nauvoo is not easily healed, and no Latter-day Saint is or can become a member of our order in this jurisdiction. Mormonism and Masonry. Now, that's changed, I believe, but back then that's the way it was for a long time. Now, what's another similarity between Temple Mormonism and high-level Freemasonry? The 5 points of fellowship are given by putting the inside of the right foot to the inside of the Lord's, the inside of your knee to His, laying your breast close to His, your left hand on each other's backs, and each one putting his mouth to the other's ear, in which position the Lord whispers, Lord, this is a sign of the token. Health to the navel, marrow in the bones. He, the candidate, is raised on what is called the 5 points of fellowship. This is done by putting the inside of your right foot. Now, what is this? This is Mormonism. Same as Freemasonry. He, the candidate, is raised on what is called the 5 points of fellowship. This is done by putting the inside of your right foot to the inside of the right foot of the person to whom you are going to give the word, the inside of your knee to his, laying your right breast against his, your left hands on the back of each other, and your mouths to each other's right ear, in which position alone you are permitted to give the word and whisper the word Mahabon. Oh, by the way, that's Freemasonry. The other one was Mormonism. He is told that Maha bone signifies marrow in the bone. Same thing. That's what the Mormons said. Marrow in the bone. They said health to the navel, marrow in the bones. And what do they say in Freemasonry? Maha bone signifies marrow in the bone. We will not reveal any of the secrets of this. The first token of the Aaronic priesthood, here's another one, with its accompanying name, sign, or penalty. Should we do so, we agree that our throats be cut from ear to ear and our tongues torn out by their roots. What does the other one say? I will never reveal any part or parts, art of, or arts, point or points of the secret arts and mysteries of ancient Freemasonry, binding myself under no less penalty than to have my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by the roots. Same thing. Next sign. In executing the sign of the penalty, the right hand palm down is drawn sharply across the throat. Same thing. This is given by drawing your right hand across your throat, the thumb next to your throat. Same thing. Freemasonry, Mormonism, same thing. The grip hands clasp, pressing the knuckle of the index finger with the thumb. The right hands are joined together as in shaking hands, and each sticks his thumb nail into the third joint or upper end of the forefinger. Same thing, Freemasonry exposed. One of the other temple rites is this. Peter now takes Adam by the right hand and asks him, what is this? Adam replies, the first token of the Aaronic priesthood. Peter says, has it a name? Adam says, it has. Peter, will you give it to me? Adam says, I cannot, for it is connected with my new name. But this is the sign. He shows him a sign. Now, what happens in Freemasonry? Now, Joseph Smith called it the Aaronic priesthood. Aaron, by Aaron. Okay, the Aaronic priesthood. What does Freemasonry call it? Here's what they call it. Same thing, though. Listen to the words. The master and the candidate holding each other by the grip, as before described, the master says, what is this? He says, a grip. A grip of what? The grip of an entered apprentice mason. Has it a name? It has. Will you give it to me? I did not so receive it. Neither can I so impart it. Same thing. Same exact thing. We and each of us do covenant and promise that we will not reveal the secrets of this, the second token of the Aaronic priesthood, with its accompanying name, sign, grip, or penalty. So it's another level of Freemason, or level of the Aaronic priesthood. Should we do so, we agree to have our breasts cut open and our hearts and vitals torn from our bodies and given to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That's what they said they would do. What does Freemasonry say? I most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear that I will not give the degree of a fellow craft mason to anyone of an inferior degree, nor to any other being in the known world, binding myself under no less penalty than to have my left breast torn open and my heart and vitals taken from thence, to become a prey to the wild beasts of the field and vultures of the air. Same thing. Another of the Aaronic priesthood. We and each of us do covenant and promise that we will not reveal any of the secrets of this, the first token of the Melchizedek priesthood. So they call it the Melchizedek priesthood. With its accompanying name, sign, or penalty. Should we do so, we agree that our bodies be cut asunder in the midst of all our bowels gush out. It's kind of a serious oath. So what do the Master Masons say? I most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear, in addition to my former obligations, that I will not give the degree of the Master Mason to any of an inferior degree, nor to any other being in the known world, binding myself under no less penalty than to have my body severed in two in the midst and divided to the north and south and my bowels burnt to ashes. Same thing. Fun guys. They don't sound like very nice guys, Brother Paul. It'll sound like people you'd want to hang out with or anything, right? Yeah, it happened to somebody. Captain Campbell Morgan, it happened to. Campbell Morgan. Joseph Smith's rise of Freemasonry happened at the time of Campbell Morgan. Captain Morgan. I keep saying his name wrong. Campbell Morgan was a preacher back in the, he was an English preacher. What's that? Poor guy. Captain Morgan is his name. Anyway, he was a Freemason, and he wrote a book exposing Freemasonry. And when he did, it busted wide open. And they had him falsely arrested. And then when they couldn't get that done, they had to let him go. And then they had him falsely arrested, and they went into his house and tried to search for his manuscripts, but they couldn't find it. Because he hid the manuscripts, so they couldn't get it. So after they did that, three guys grabbed him on the road one night as he was going home, took him and killed him. They slit his throat and they drowned him in the river. And they found him. They found his body like 2 or 3 months later or something like that. They found his body, and they tried to pull him out of there. And it just so happens that Joseph Smith, one of his wives, was Morgan's ex-wife. Morgan's widow was one of Joseph Smith's wives. Interesting, huh? Okay, now here's another one. What is this? The Endowee says the second token of the Melchizedek priesthood, the patriarchal grip or the sure sign of the nail. Has it a name? It has. Will you give it to me? I cannot, for I have not yet received it. So, that's what the Melchizedek priesthood says in Mormonism. What does the Master Mason say? What is this? A grip? A grip of what? The grip of a fellow craft mason. Has it a name? It has. Will you give it to me? I did not so receive it, neither can I impart it. By the way, they both have the same vow of chastity. The grip is given by placing the thumb of the back of the hand and the tip of the forefinger in the center of the palm, representing the piercing of the hand by a nail. It is called the sign of the nail. That same sign is given in Freemasonry. Grand Commander now explains the grip and word of a Knight of Malta. Oh, a Knight of Malta? We've heard of those guys before. He says to a candidate, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and feel the print of the nails. You see how they blaspheme Christ with this garbage? They join right hands and force the first finger into the center of the palm. You and each of you do solemnly promise and vow that you will pray and never cease to pray and never cease to importune high heaven to avenge the blood of the prophets. Who says that? It's Joseph Smith. They had to take a blood oath and a swear that they would avenge the death of their prophets. What does Freemasonry say? We promise and swear by the living God, always supreme, to revenge the death of our ancestor. Who's their ancestor? Nimrod? Adam, turning to the audience, in your bundles, brethren and sisters, you will each find an apron. You will now put it on. Who puts that on? The Temple Mormons put on an apron when they go in. The master returns to his seat while the wardens are examining the candidate and gets a lambskin or a white apron. Presents it to the candidate and observes, brother, I now present you with a lambskin or white apron. It is an emblem of innocence and a badge of a Mason. Yeah, innocence. So who does that? Temple Mormons? They use an apron. Master Masons? Use an apron. We now have the veil explained to us. We are told that it represents the veil of the temple. The marks are the same as those on the garments, the compass on the left and the square on the right. What is that? By the way, that's the Temple Mormons. They have the compass and the square on their magic Mormon underwear. Yes, there's a such thing as magic Mormon underwear. And no, I've never seen them. Besides on a video, I saw some magic Mormon underwear. It was kind of weird, but... And, yeah, I know, it sounds funny. You're saying they really don't believe in magic Mormon underwear. Brother Paul, they do believe in magic Mormon underwear. What's that? Reuben Israel waves magic Mormon underwear around? That would be funny, actually. I don't know where he got magic Mormon underwear at, but I'm not going to ask him either. I guess so. Wow. Anyway, we now have the veil. Okay, we explained the veil. The great lights in masonry are the Holy Bible, the square, and the compass. The square to square our actions, and the compass to keep us in due bounds with all mankind. Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president of the Mormon Church, testified this. I do not say there were any washings in the Masonic Temple, but there were meetings held in the Masonic Temple. There were certain ordinances performed there at the start because there was no temple built at that time. So in Nauvoo, what is he saying? He's saying that they went, Joseph Smith was a master mason, and he held the Temple Mormon ceremonies in the Masonic Temple. Hiram Smith, Joseph's brother, was also a member of the Masonic fraternity. Theodore Schroeder stated this. At the time of writing the Book of Mormon, Hiram Smith, a brother and co-conspirator of Joseph Smith, was already a Mason, as also were Heber Kimball and others of the neighborhood who became leading Mormons. That was the authorship of the Book of Mormon reprinted from the American Journal of Psychology. The reader will remember that William Morgan's Exposé of Masonry was published in Batavia, New York in 1827. Joseph Smith could have learned a great deal about the Masonic ritual from this book. We know now that Heber C. Kimball had a copy of it, for his own granddaughter stated this, I remember once when but a young girl of getting a glimpse of the outside of Morgan's book exposing Masonry, but which my father always kept locked up. See, Captain Morgan wrote that book. Okay, Morgan wrote that book. William Morgan, he wrote that book on exposing Freemasonry, and Kimball had it, and it showed about all the degrees and everything. And Kimball was a high level Mason himself. He was way higher than Joseph Smith. He'd been a Mason a long time, and they think that maybe they stole the temple rites from that, and that's what took place, and that's why Joseph Smith knew so many of them. Not sure, really. There's not a lot of documentation about that. It's interesting to note that Morgan's widow became a member of the Mormon Church and lived in Nauvoo. Heber C. Campbell's daughter stated this. In Nauvoo, I was acquainted with the widow and daughter of Morgan who exposed Masonry. Fawn Brody states this. The most famous woman in the church was William Morgan's widow, Lucinda, now married to George W. Harris, one of Joseph's key men and incidentally a Mason of high rank. Why did she marry? Her husband died from Freemasonry. She went and married another. Interesting. Strange as it may seem, Morgan's widow later became one of Joseph Smith's wives. Andrew Jensen, who was the assistant LDS church historian, stated that she was one of the first women sealed to the prophet Joseph. Wouldn't that be great to be sealed to the prophet Joseph? Have 18 other women? Wouldn't that be wonderful just to be a polygamy? Wouldn't that be something to never know if your husband really loved you because he's sleeping with somebody in the next room? I had some stupid Baptist try to tell me one day, well, polygamy's not a sin. You're a fool. What a fool. He said, well, God never said that it was a sin in the Bible. Well, he said he made a male and female. He said a man should leave his father and cling unto his wife, and they two should be one flesh. He didn't say be one flesh with all kinds of women, did he? What was the example that we were given in the scriptures? Did we talk about Adam? Did Adam have a second wife? Do we see that anywhere in the Bible? Unless you believe the cults that say Lilith was Adam's first wife or something like that. Right? That polygamy, look what it did. Look at the damage it causes. It's wicked. Satanic is what it is. The Mormon leaders find themselves faced with several embarrassing questions regarding the temple ritual and Freemasonry. Many members of the church wonder how they can believe in a secret temple ritual when a Book of Mormon condemns all secret society, bans, and oaths. In fact, it plainly states that the Lord worketh not in secret combinations in Ether 8:19. Do you realize that everything that Joseph Smith taught, he did absolutely the opposite? It's like the Catholic Church. They say all these things, but in their practice, they do the opposite. That's exactly what they did. So what Joseph Smith said? He said, we condemn secret societies, but he started one. Then, too, there is the question of why Joseph Smith would become a Mason. Beside all the statements in the Book of Mormon which condemn secret societies, the reader will remember that Joseph Smith joined four others in stating this: we further caution our brethren against the impropriety of the organization of bands or companies by covenant, oaths, penalties, or secrecies. Pure friendship always becomes weakened the very moment you undertake to make it stronger by penal oaths and secrecy. But then he was a Master Mason himself. And all of his inner circle were Master Masons, by the way. Benjamin F. Johnson claims that Joseph Smith told him that Freemasonry was the apostate endowment. So why would Joseph Smith join an organization that was in a state of apostasy? Because he was a satanic liar, that's why. Briefly summarized, the connection between Mormonism and Masonry is as follows. Number one, both Mormonism and Masonry have secret ceremonies that are performed in secret temples. And if that's not the case, then why can't all of us go walk into a Mormon temple and see all your services and watch everything you do? We're not hiding anything, are we? We've got it all live. You can see it all. This is what we do. What are you hiding? Why don't you want anybody to see that? Why don't you want anybody to see what you guys do in the temple? Why is it a secret? It's a secret because you're of your mother, the harlot, Rome and all her bastard children. Amen. That's exactly where you're from, the mother of all harlots. By the way, we're going to talk about the Jesuit connection to Mormonism sometime soon. So both Masonry and Mormonism have secret ceremonies and secret temples. The Masonic emblems are displayed on the walls of the Mormon temple. Why are they there? The Mormon temple ritual is similar in many respects to that used by Masons. And number four, Joseph Smith and many of the most prominent members of the Mormon church were also members of the Masonic Lodge. Temple ceremonies were actually performed in the Masonic Hall. Now, what does this lead you to believe? Well, he was a part of an esoteric religion. That's what it was, because Mormonism is nothing more than Freemasonry repackaged into something else. Along with Joseph Smith's other witchcraft that he gathered together, and his astrology and everything else that he put together. and his buildings. He has all the signs. He has the inverted pentagram. He has the all-seeing eye. Why? To gather up devils there for the ceremonies and everything that they do. That's what it's about. And no, do all the minion Mormons that come there that do everything, do they know anything about that? Absolutely not. Most of them don't know anything about that. Most Mormons are just trying to live a good life. They're trying to be moral, upright, standing people. They have no clue. They'll never be invited into the temple, and they'll never rise to that sublime degree to where they'll be able to go up into that temple and do those things. Many of them have never heard of that. I'm going to tell you something. You say, this isn't that important. Oh, really? Well, let me tell you something right now, what's going on. Glenn Beck, with his Blaze.com, is having discussions with people, and he's having Mormon talks with people, and he's bringing them all together. Now go to GlennBeck.com and go look at what he's doing, and you'll see everything that man is doing right now is to draw men into the Antichrist. That's what he's doing. He's mixing religion and politics together, and not the Word of God, but Mormonism, and he calls it God. And then you have men like, you say, well, that's not very dangerous, is it? Well, then why do men like Kirk Cameron, why are men like him going on Glenn Beck's show, and why are they being a part of all that, and why are they're not distinguishing between what Glenn Beck is? They're not saying, hey, Glenn Beck, no, you know what Kirk Cameron said when he went on there? It's a good day for the gospel today, because I'm going on Glenn Beck. Go to his Facebook page and look it up. That's what he said. He said, it's a good day for the gospel. Which gospel, you stupid devil? Which one? Which gospel? Not the one found in the Bible, you liar. You think that's the gospel? Yeah, it's a gospel, all right. It's called the other gospel, and it's accursed. That's what it is. It's a Masonic order gospel. It's an esoteric gospel. It is a hidden mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. That's exactly what it is. And it's deceiving many people. Blaze.com, millions of people, conservative Christians backing Glenn Beck. You could see him on their threads. I friended Glenn Beck so I could see all this stuff, so I could look at everything that's on his page. And I'm looking at all these people that are commenting on it. It is unbelievable. They're like, God bless you, Glenn Beck. You're such a wonderful Christian. You're such a good man, Glenn Beck. Praise the Lord, Glenn Beck. Praise the Lord. It makes me angry. What is wrong with these people? It's not the gospel. It's not. Mormonism is not Christianity. It is a cult. It is an esoteric, wicked cult. It is an offshoot of Freemasonry and ritualistic Satanism mixed. It is nothing more than witchcraft. That's all it is. And people are being deceived. You look at, I'm telling you, they're being deceived by the millions in America. And Glenn Beck's stock is rising. And when people like Kirk Cameron go on Glenn Beck's show to promote his stupid Christmas movie. Oh. Was that ever a dumb movie? No, I didn't watch it. I've seen enough of a preview of it on his stupid Facebook page. It was enough for me to watch. And then he goes over there, and then I had some guy get mad at me that just unfriended me on Facebook that I've been friends with for a really long time. He got mad at me. Why? Because I called Kurt what he was. I said, he's a little coadjutor is what he is. That's what he is. I said, he's working for Rome. Are you kidding me? Going on Glenn Beck and saying it's a good day for the gospel because I'm going on Glenn Beck. Going on Glenn Beck and advertising all your movies and promote and bringing evangelicals over to Glenn Beck? Come on, you think I'm stupid? I can't see that? Why, because you went street preaching with him once? Big deal, you sissy. Wake up. It's ridiculous. Same guy got mad at me because I told him that what's that guy's name? That guy he wrote those SDA articles for. William, what's that guy's name? Walter Veith, that Seventh-day Adventist. I said, I told him, Ellen G. White's a witch. You better prove she's a witch. I did. Go listen to the message. Ridiculous. But millions of people are following it, and they're being seduced by it. Why? Because people won't stand up and just tell the truth about it. Tell them what they really are. Mormonism is witchcraft. Freemasonry is witchcraft, and they're one and the same. And we need to warn people. You need to tell the truth about what it is. You need to know something about it and tell the truth about it. Their rites are the same. Their symbols are the same. Why? Because they're the same. That's why. And they're leading men to destruction and death. And by the way, quit following these stupid Hollywood Christians too. These famous guys like Kirk Cameron and all these people. They're not real. Where are they suffering for Jesus Christ? Go out in the street with me. I don't see anybody cursing you out there. I see everybody loving your Hollywood Christianity. That's what I see. They don't hate you for Christ's sake. They could care less. Making movies defending. And then going back to Rome and defending Rome and saying, well, St. Nicholas was a Christian. No, he wasn't. He's a Catholic. Catholics aren't Christian, you bonehead. Yeah, Christmas trees are about Jesus. You better wake up, man. Christmas trees about Jesus. Night. Ridiculous. But you know what? It's because we've gotten so far away from just telling the truth about stuff. Because we're worried about hurting anybody's feelings. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't care. I really don't care about your feelings. I care about your soul. Not your feelings. You can hate me all you want to, but if I told you the truth, I'm free. I'm free from your blood. Because I stepped on one of your little tiki god idols and you can't take it. That's why the guy unfriended me this last week. Why did he unfriend me? Because I stepped on one of his little tiki god idols. That's why. Stepped on too many of them. You'll find a way. You'll have a lot of friends until you start stepping on all the idols. When you start knocking down the idols, you'll start losing friends real quick. They'll start separating from you. Why? Because they don't have the stomach to stand up for what's right. That's why. You know why? Because they're not in a local church. And they don't have the power of God. And they don't have people surrounding them that are praying for them. And lifting their name up to God in heaven. So they can go out and do battle against that wicked, evil world. That's what's wrong. So they're getting sucked into all this stuff. And they're soft in the battle. Seen some guy, PJ posts his video on there of preaching in front of this sodomite church. And some guy gets on there and goes, oh, you need to do this and you need to strike everything. I said, don't listen to that stupid advice. Get out there and preach.
Amen.
They need to hear preaching. They don't need to have a little conversation dialogue with you. What are you going to do? Do his nails and do his hair for him? Like one guy told me this a couple weeks ago. He said, oh, you need to, your guys are doing it wrong. Like, yeah, look, guy, I hear that every day. Big deal. I don't care. You're doing it wrong. You got to go help those sodomites. When was the last time you helped two homosexuals move into an apartment together? I said, I never done that one. I never done that one, friend. Sorry, but it ain't happening. Yeah, I'm not going to do that one. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon or anything. I mean, I wouldn't help two people that were living in sin move in together either. I wouldn't help them do it either. I ain't going to help you. You know how I'll help you? You go stay there, you go stay there. That's how I'll help you. You want any help from this church, you're going to do right. You ain't living together coming to this church. That ain't happening. Folks, I'm telling you, the deception is running high, and people are getting sucked in. By the way, why don't you man up and quit writing articles for Seventh-day Adventist groups? They're a cult, in case you haven't figured it out yet. They're an absolute cult leading people to hell, trying to save people by the law. That's right. You give it validity when you write an article for them and put it on there and then get mad at somebody else that reproves you for it, looks you in your eye and says, why don't you quit writing articles for cults? It's time we separate from these people. It's time we make a clear distinction. Men are going to hell because they're deceived. And you know who's blurring the water, bloody in the waters and making everything muddy in the waters, making everything dirty? Christians. They won't stand up. Why? Because somebody might separate from me. Good! Go! I want you to! Go! Let me open the door for you! Get going! Folks, if people don't want to do right, don't be scared to be alone. That's the problem today. People are too scared to be alone. But you're not alone. God will bring people. God will do a work. God will minister to your soul. You're not alone.
Amen. You may think you are. He'll pull you out of it.
That's right. It's just ridiculous. We've got to start making a separation doctrinally with these people and say, you know what? If they're not going to do right, I want nothing to do with them. I am not going to be a part of their, if they're not going to stand for righteousness, holiness, and they're going to be, they're a cult and they're mixed up with all this garbage, I don't want anything to do with them. I'm going to call them out for what they are. Guy get mad at me, I've been friends with for so long on there. He's called me for advice before. I've had conversations with him. And he told me, well, you're just a railer and you're this and you're that. Prove it. Prove what you said. Prove I'm a railer. What did I say that was railing? What did I say that wasn't true? Guy telling me it's okay to social drink, Brother Paul. Got mad at me. Been a friend with me for a long time. Said, well, I occasionally have a glass of wine. Brother. Occasionally have a glass of wine. Really? So one glass of wine don't do nothing to you? Yeah. Well, let me just say, if you have one, let me tell you something right now. One glass of wine will change you. Mm-hmm. How do you know that, preacher? Because I used to drink and do a lot of dope. That's why. You'd be surprised what one glass of wine will do to a lady. Is that too real for you? Because, see, I came from Wickedville, okay? I know where it was. I know what I was. I know what I was a part of. I'm so tired. I'm tired of this effeminate Christianity, folks. We don't want to call anybody out. We don't want to do any of that. We don't want to separate from people. We don't want to call anybody out. We want everybody to love us. We want everybody to be friends. Well, listen, if you want the applause of the world, then you are not of Christ. You're of this world. What happened to those that wouldn't follow Jesus in John chapter 6? Because of the praise of men, they wouldn't follow Christ and they left him. It says they believed on him, but they never repented, and they were afraid to speak his name. What did Jesus say about those that are afraid to speak his name? He said, I'll be ashamed of your name in front of my Father, too. That's right. It's ridiculous. I'm telling you, folks, it's bad. I mean, it's getting so bad that people are afraid to call things out now. They're afraid. I never thought I'd see the day when a man that calls himself an historic Baptist like he does would get upset about calling out what's sin is sin. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. You want to separate from me because of that? You want to separate from me because I called out liquor as there ain't no such thing as casual liquor drinking, by the way. Man, is that ever dumb. Now this guy grew up in a fundy home, okay? So maybe he was sheltered from a lot of things. But listen, I grew up in a wicked world. Let me tell you something right now. There ain't no such thing as casual drinking, okay? Drinking booze is drinking booze. I don't care what kind of pretty label you try to put on it. That's exactly what it is. It's wicked. And it's going to get you drunk. And you're going to sin against God. You keep telling yourself, I can control it. Yeah, I know a lot of people that tell me they can control it. They scrape them off the road at 3 o'clock in the morning. They can control it. Yeah. And others around you. What if others around you can't control it? People become an island to themselves, though, don't they, today? That's what they are. Oh, that's an island to myself. I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah. How much love is that for your neighbor? It's just, I'm telling you, folks, we're living in such perilous times. When people that are supposed to be the strong ones won't stand up against sin, when they won't stand for righteousness, when they won't stand against cults, but they'll get mad at you because you don't even put a warning. And by the way, Nate went on there and proved about that Seventh-day Adventist. Every single thing that guy had done, he went video after video after video after video after video. And he put it on there. And he showed all of it on there. What's this guy did? Ignore everything that he said. Ignored everything he said. And doesn't repent. Doesn't get right. Well, I'm glad you separated from me. Because I don't want anything to do with you. Because if you're going to hold hands with a cult, see ya. Because you writing articles for a cult means you're holding hands with them. And I want nothing to do with you. I'm going to tell you something. You can't have Mormonism. Mormonism, let me be very blunt with you. Mormonism is not Christianity. It's witchcraft. No Mormon will ever enter the kingdom of God. Unless they repent, they shall all likewise perish. Amen. It's occultic. Wednesday, I'm going to cover the occultism and Mormonism and show you the cult leaders and everything, the occultism that is in there, the spiritism that they followed, the spirits that came, the spirits that they had manifest in front of them, what they openly admit that is recorded. So why is that important? Because if there's one person out there that gets saved from this, there's one person that listens to this, if you can be equipped as saints to go out there and when somebody brings up Mormonism, you can say, hey, let me show you some things. Let me show you documented evidence. Amen? Maybe, just maybe, we can rescue some from the fire before it's too late. There's a book called Mormonism, Mama and Me, about a lady. I don't know if you've ever seen that book before, but that lady was delivered from Mormonism. So you know what? Why? Because somebody was spiritual enough to write something about it. Somebody thought it was important enough to warn people. Some of these brethren thought it was important enough to warn somebody. And bless God, some preachers actually think it's important enough to preach on some of it.
Amen.
And yeah, I know some of this stuff is long and it's drawn out and I get it, okay? I don't like it either. Half of it's stupid. I don't know how these people go to a temple and do any of this stupid stuff. Putting on magic underwear and all kinds of stuff. I don't know where they get it from. They're a bunch of morons. I know they're Mormons, but they're morons. I don't get it, okay? I don't get how you could do that. I don't get how you could say, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to put my magic underwear on. I don't get that, okay? I don't understand it either. I don't understand how you could do goofy, stupid handshakes and all kinds of stuff either. I don't get it. But I know there's people stuck in it and they need to be delivered from it. Somebody's got to talk about it. And if not us, then who? That's right. Otherwise, they're going to hell. God loves those people that are trapped in that place. God loves those people that are trapped in the Mormon Templeism. That God loves them. He wants them saved. No, being friends with them makes them saved, but telling them the truth will. They hear the truth. Amen? Father, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for your truth. Help us to live it every day. Help us to share the truth with others. Lord, I pray these go online. I pray they reach the deepest, darkest Mormon temple in the from the corners of the earth, Lord, wherever they may be. And I pray these messages ring in the ears of someone. I pray your gospel would quicken them. I pray they'd be saved by the Spirit of God, by the grace of Almighty God, Lord, and be born again by the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray they would be broken over their sins. I pray they would repent and turn to you and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the damnable gospel of Joseph Smith, who's burning in hell for his wicked sins. Lord God, I pray you deliver those today in Jesus' name. Amen.